This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave. Joy 94.9, this is the World Wide Wave, live from Melbourne, Australia. I'm Tom, joined in the studio this week by Squirrel and Matt. Are you guys ready for this week's stopover?
I am so excited.
Are you excited about Abbaland?
Just a little bit.
Well, actually, Sweden to be exact, but Abbaland might be a fitting name as well. We speak with Tom from West Pride in the city of Gothenburg. And we also speak with George Svin from the Discrimination Bundesman. We find out why a number of Swedish citizens missed a day of work by calling in sick with a case of being homosexual. And we also learn why an entire first-string Swedish football team was sacked. But first, as always, let's get things started with some music. And who better to get things started with than ABBA, I think.
Woohoo!
The question only remains, which ABBA song should we play?
I like it.
Mamma Mia, Joy 94.9.
It's Joy 94.9, and what a great way to start the show with a nice upbeat song from, of course, ABBA. That was Mamma Mia, and that was the song that launched ABBA in Australia when Ian Molly Meldrum happened to come across it and played it on Countdown. It went to number one, and the rest is history.
There you go. This week, the World Wide Wave stops over in Sweden, and it is time for Fun Fast Facts. Officially, it is known as the Kingdom of Sweden, but I don't think there's much more than just the actual country anymore. Anyone? Yeah.
Lots of queens.
Well, anyway, Sweden was the first country in the world to remove homosexuality as an illness. In 1979, a number of Swedish citizens called in sick with a case of being homosexual in protest to homosexual being classified as an illness. It was shortly thereafter removed from the illness list. Legalized same-sex activity in what year do you guys think? So in 1979, it was no longer an illness to be homosexual. When do you think Sweden legalized same-sex activity?
Early. They've been leaders in everything.
Early. So what are you thinking, 82? Like early 70s? Late 80s?
Ooh,
yeah, no, we're going back to grandma and grandpa. 1944.
Wow.
Whoa.
1944, Sweden legalized same-sex activity. 1972 was the year Sweden became the first country in the world to allow transsexuals to legally change their sex.
You know, Sweden was neutral in World War II. I wonder if that has anything to do with them legalizing the same-sex activity.
They had time to think things through, maybe, while
everyone else was
running around shooting each other. They were being more intellectual.
Exactly.
I like that.
Just a theory.
Same-sex marriage became fully legal in May 2009. Here's what's interesting. Most countries, when they legalize same-sex marriage, it generally happens through the court or through voting, and it's just a law, but it's not an actual change to the Constitution. Sweden's constitution actually bans discrimination on grounds of sexual orientation. So in the actual wording of their constitution, it's not legal sexual orientation. Excuse me, discrimination based on sexual orientation is not legal.
In their the constitution.
Could you imagine? That's amazing.
That's how it, well, it either it's should not, be or because we're so integrated with society that we don't even need that.
It's a hyper bill of rights almost.
So we've got this country and they've got all these great laws and they've had all these great laws for a long time. And we've been to other countries where they have these great laws, but we always come up against our friends, the church. Mm-hmm. What do you think the official Swedish church has to say about gay marriage? You'd be surprised.
I think they'd be a little bit warm to it, actually. It's a relatively secular country.
It's not Catholic, is it?
It's not Catholic. It's officially the Church of Sweden.
And oh.
says that they might be a little open-minded. But in October of 2009, the Church of Sweden voted in favor of giving its blessing to homosexual couples who were getting married.
2009? Oh, that's when they passed the same-sex marriage.
Correct.
Together?
So the country made it legal, and then the Church of Sweden said, yeah, we're behind you. We're going to give you our blessing. According to the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersexual Association, ILGA, Sweden is Europe's most gay-friendly country, with extensive legislation protecting gay and lesbian rights, including anti-discrimination laws and general neutral marriage legislation. And bringing it off, we give you a little poll, a little fact. In 2006, the European Union polled Sweden.
All of them.
Well, a handful of them. 71% of those that were polled said they supported same-sex marriage.
I think that's the highest percentage we've heard yet.
That is a pretty outstanding number of support, and Sweden seems to be a very friendly pink nation indeed.
Even in the area of sport.
Correct.
In fact, Sweden has the first and currently only openly gay professional footballer by the name of Anton Heisen. He's been out for about 18 months and says that it's the best thing that has ever happened, and he hasn't lost opportunities. He said he's had a little bit of, a few bit of niggles from the crowd every now and then, but incredibly supportive were his teammates and his team supporters.
And there was also something that I hinted at, that an entire first-string football team was canned because of what? Why?
I'm going to give it a go. Sørkogen football team, who were chanting some very negative things. They were playing a gay-friendly team, so not a gay team, but a gay-friendly team, the Stockholm Snipers, and they were enticing the crowd to contribute to their chants. The Football Association came out and fined the team $5,000, but the club president said that's not good enough, and he sacked a lot of them.
There you go.
This was just last year, actually.
Good on him. So not only politics, sport, but also we cannot forget pop culture. Now, one of the biggest reasons that we are heading off to Sweden is because it has been the kickoff of Enjoy. We had a live ambassador sent over to Eurovision. And where is that Eurovision going to be this year?
Sweden?
No, Sweden.
You're setting me up.
So I just thought I'd check in at not only that, but there is Eurovision in Sweden.
Lots of shows on Joy covering Eurovision this year. If you'd like to participate in tonight's show, we'd love to hear from you on the SMS 0427 Joy 949. Phone Fernando out the front there at 1300 Joy 949. Email on air at joy.org.au. And of course, we're live on Facebook. Search Worldwide Wave or W3 Joy on Facebook.
You know what's really exciting about that Facebook?
Lots of things are exciting about Facebook.
Well, I don't think it'll happen necessarily this week because it's not a popularity contest, but I'm pretty excited that we've got 91 likes, which means that
91?
Sometime, yes, 91.
Wow.
Sometime, and there's like an MP from Ireland and an MP from Nepal. Like, it's really random, and like all of our friends. But if you're listening and you wanted to make us smile a little bit more, if you could give us a like, our goal is to reach 100 before the end of the grid, shall we say?
Why not? And a big hello to Elka and Mel and Richard, who've all interacted with us on Facebook just this week.
Joy 94.9 Worldwide Wave. Coming up later in the hour, we speak with real live Swedish guys. But first, we listen to a real, well, she's not live, but we listen to her anyway because she's fantastic. Call Your Girlfriend, Robin.
On Joy 94.9.
Hola, mi nombre es Félix de Colombia. You are on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Wave.
It's Joy 94.9, the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And that was Call Your Girlfriend by Robin. We are tonight in the country of Sweden, where we've been already exploring the very advanced progress that's been undertaken in LGBT rights. So much so, they have an Office of the Discrimination Ombudsman, which looks, among other things, about discrimination with LGBT people and issues. And we spoke this week with George Sved from the Office of the Discrimination Ombudsman and started by asking him to tell us a bit about his organisation.
And it's funny because he, we would say his name George, but I believe it's Jorgi Sved.
So I'm going to say George.
But we'll call him George for the rest of the show. Our apologies, George.
The Office of the Equality Ombudsman is Sweden's equality body. That means we have a task to combat discrimination and work for equal rights opportunities on seven different grounds of discrimination, one of those being sexual orientation.
And can you tell us about some of the LGBT or sexual orientation discrimination laws or anti-discrimination laws in Sweden?
Yes, we've had laws prohibiting discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation since the late 1990s. And we had a major reform in 2009 where there was a consolidation of the existing laws. So we now have one act, the Discrimination Act, which prohibits discrimination, among other things, on the ground of sexual orientation in most areas of society. So that would be employment, the provision of goods and services, education, social services, and so on and so forth. So we have a not a universal but a very broad prohibition on discrimination on LGBT grounds.
That sounds really fantastic. And there's probably been some judicial or legislation or judicial decisions in this area. Can you tell us about some of the Supreme Court cases that you've had to deal with?
Well, first of all, I should say that possibly the Swedish system in this respect is different from the Australian. We have only quite few cases do reach the Swedish Supreme Court. This office and the previously existing ombudsman dealing specifically with the ground of sexual orientation, we've had two cases that reached the Supreme Court. One was a very important, I would say, a landmark case in that was the judgment was issued in 2005, and that had to do with a very important principle on the burden of proof and the distribution on the burden of proof in discrimination matters. And in that case, it concerned a lesbian couple that were kissing in a restaurant, and they were thrown out by the restaurateur. And the former ombudsman on sexual orientation went to court and demanded damages as a remedy for discrimination. And the question was, what did the ombudsman have to prove in that case, and what did the restaurateur have to prove in that case? And because the restaurateur was arguing that he had treated this couple the same as he would have any other couple, including heterosexual couples. The point of law that went to the Swedish Supreme Court was an interpretation of the shift of the burden of proof. What was established was that in discrimination cases, there is an ease of the burden of proof. What the ombudsman has to show is facts that give rise to a presumption that it is was in fact a case of discrimination, and it is then for the opposing party to bring evidence to rebut that presumption. That this fundamental point was established by the Supreme Court was a significant legal victory, I would say.
That does sound quite significant to shift that burden of proof. And well, you said there was two courses. What court cases? What was the second one?
The second case is actually very recent. In that case, the Supreme Court only last week, as a matter of fact, granted our application for leave to appeal to the Supreme Court. And that concerns the level of damages in discrimination cases. The law was changed, as I mentioned earlier, in 2009, and one of the things that was changed was legislation was passed to increase the level of damages in these cases, to take into account not only to remedy the humiliation that is inevitably involved for the victim of discrimination, but also to make the sanctions dissuasive, to make sure they have a preventive effect. So what we have done, we have brought a case to the Supreme Court, and what we're going to have tested now is what is the proper level of damages in cases of discrimination.
Fantastic. Well, good on you guys for doing that work. Can you tell us a bit about your work towards equal pay?
Well, first of all, we do have the existing legislation covers discrimination which manifests itself in different levels of pay for work of equal value if there is a link to one of the seven prohibited or prescribed discrimination grounds. And in that respect, we are not unusual, at least by European comparison. We do have, however, in our law, something which is rather unusual. We have a mandatory obligation on employers to take preventive or proactive measures. So employers of a certain size are obliged every 3 years to make a pay survey. And so that means to compare wages between men and women in equal work or work of equal value. And they have to analyze to see if there are any unjustified pay differentials. And if there are, they have to take steps to remedy that. And what our office does is, of course, we monitor how employers comply with this obligation.
Wow, that's amazing. Can you tell us, is there anything else in terms of LGBT work that you do that we haven't discussed yet?
Yes, I think one thing which is very important is the mandatory proactive work on also on sexual orientation when it comes to the whole education system. Every school from kindergarten up to the university is obliged every year to make a plan in order to prevent harassment and discrimination and actively work against homophobia in the school settings. And that is a very important part of our preventive work, I would say.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Georg Svid, from the Swedish Ombudsman, or DO as they call it. Thank you very much for taking the time to be on our show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that was Georg Svid from the Ombudsman.
Ombudsman. The Discrimination Ombudsman in Sweden.
How great is that? They take pay surveys of people and they compare. Are gay people getting paid as much as straight people?
And gender and all the other issues with discrimination. But pretty progressive that they have an ombudsman in itself. It's an ombudsman is, if you like, a way of mediating issues when you've made a complaint and you haven't quite got the result that you thought you would get, so you can raise it to an independent person. So to actually allocate somebody to be that advocate, that intermediate for a sexuality issue is very progressive in itself.
Sweden, it's almost paradise.
We're going to have another song. It's a Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Follow LGBT International News and Current Affairs.
Like us on Facebook at W3Joy or visit us at W3Joy.org.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
Worldwide Wave here on Joy 94.9. We're the show that takes you round the globe, one country at a time. And this week we are stopping off at the amazingly progressive Sweden, where we've learned the church supports gay marriage, there is gay marriage, there is a discrimination ombudsman, and wow, Eurovision's going to be there this year, there's a gay soccer player. We've learned so much.
I bet their pride events just go off.
Well, we've met someone and spoke with someone who was very excited about the upcoming Pride. We had the pleasure of speaking with Thomas from West Pride in Sweden, and he talks about flying flags and all sorts of things.
What's neat about this is we're talking a rural regional person because we were curious. We knew all of Sweden was pretty progressive, but we wanted to know if you got outside of Stockholm, if you went outside of the big cities, what's there? And you know what? It's consistently pretty progressive. Let's hear what he has to say as he's
pumping up and counting down for West Pride in Gothenburg, Sweden.
West Pride is the second biggest LGBTQ festival in Sweden. It has grown pretty fast the last years. It starts as like a cooperation between a few cultural museums and other kinds of organizations in Gothenburg, and then it started to grow to a citywide festival. So nowadays, everyone who wants to join the festival with a seminar or a concert or an exhibition or a party or something else are welcome. And they just say that, okay, we want to do this, and then we coordinate the program. So it's a bit different from other festivals, I think. There's 34 days left until the start, May 20th. We are counting down, and we have a lot of things to do here at the office. We are sorting rainbow flags, and we are coordinating the program and handing out the posters, actually. I was handing out posters just before you called, so a lot of things going on, and we really look forward to it. And
now, Gay Pride Gothenburg, what are you most proud of?
When it comes to West Pride and LGBTQ Festival in Gothenburg, I am most proud of the rainbow flag here, because the city flags with the rainbow flags all over the city for 2 weeks, from May 20th to June 2nd. And I think that is unique for Sweden, actually. Even in Stockholm, where they have the biggest gay pride in Sweden, they don't have so many official flags. During these 2 weeks, the whole city is colorful and colored by the rainbow flag on all the main streets and also on the public transportations, the bus and the trams.
Let me ask a more personal question. Recently, one of your former MPs was unfortunately attacked in Greece, and some are saying that it was sort of gay prompted. How do the Swedish people feel about
it? It's always awful when something like this happened, and I think many people got a little bit surprised. Many people know that Greece is a very homophobic country, but here in Sweden, the situation is getting better and better, so we feel always very surprised and scared when we hear about this kind of happening. Personally, I feel very bad about it because here in Sweden, I feel pretty safe, but I know that this could happen in other parts of the world, and even worse thing than this, I get really upset, and it makes me work harder for change, because that's what our festival is about. We want to change the attitude among the people towards LGBTQ persons.
Thomas, what are your hopes for the future of the LGBT community in Gothenburg in Sweden?
I think and I hope that the festival will grow, and next year the Europride will be held in Oslo, and that is not very far away in Norway. We hope that we can play Pride here in Gothenburg, and that would put even more focus on these questions, and we get another great opportunity to get together and put these questions on the agenda. Hopefully, this will change the attitudes all around the region and also in Sweden.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to speak with us in Australia. We appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you so much for contacting me, and hopefully I can come and visit Sydney or Melbourne Pride sometime in the future. Thanks, bye.
And that's a very excited Thomas from West Pride in Sweden, the Swedish city of Gothenburg.
Now, we did ask him a question, I asked him, my namesake in Sweden, a question about what he felt about the MP that was attacked in Greece. Now, if you're not aware of that, a former Swedish MP who was on holidays in Greece was attacked, and they believe that it might have been gay bashing. But I really, really enjoyed his comment, and that was, that sort of thing makes me work harder for change. That's the answer we all need to have. That was fantastic.
And that's what his festival is all about. He sees it about changing people's minds. It's a vehicle for change, not just a celebration, which is a great philosophy.
Now, on a more fun note, tell me about the Swedish princess.
Well, look, Sweden's out there in all sorts of areas, but the Crown Princess, just February this year, made a surprise appearance to hand out the Gay of the Year award. I mean,
the Gay of the Year.
I know. The fact that there's a Gay of the Year award, hey, well.
So that there actually is a The Gay. It's the Gay of the Year.
The Gay, yes. I'm the Gay, yeah.
Can I pause this for just one quick sec? If anybody listening has an idea for Australia's Gay of the Year, flick us an SMS 0427 JOY949. Email us at onair@joy.org.au. Again,
the gay of the year. Who would you vote for? But, okay, back to Sweden, Matt.
Back to Sweden. So the gay of the year, the princess made a surprise appearance. She came up to the stage to the tune of ABBA's Dancing Queen. So I'm loving it. And presented, it was presented to a writer who wrote a book about the onset of the AIDS crisis in the 1980s. And she said, "It's a true delight for me to be here tonight, to feel your power, your happiness and your sense of community." Of course, the winner then came back and said something along the lines of, "We know you're the princess, but tonight I'm the queen." And I'm sure that brought the house down. But again, look, to have a Gay of the Year award and to have one of your heads of state actually come along to deliver it is quite remarkable.
I just want a gay award. I want the gay award in Australia. We need to work to bring that about for next year.
Are you saying you want to win it?
No. I want the award. I want to go to the award ceremony, yes. But I want that
Magda Szubanski?
Ooh, there's a good one.
Go on. You want the award, so who are you nominating for it?
Rodney Croom? Gay rights campaigner?
Bob Brown?
Or Carl Katter. He's out there.
Oh, yeah.
Lord Mayor Robert Doyle.
Excellent.
Very good supporter of the gay community here
Correct.
In Melbourne. Who would you vote for? Here's your chance. Send us an SMS on 0427JOY949, email onair@joy.org.au or World Wide Wave on Facebook. Who would you have for Australia's Gay of the Year? Now, whilst we're in Sweden, it's time for a bit more music.
This next song would be Levels by Avicii.
Oh, come on, you can say it, can't you?
Avicii.
Close. Avicii.
Avicii. Here on the World Wide Wave.
Hi everyone, my name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to World Wide Wave on Joy, and lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 World Wide Wave. This week, we do stop over in Sweden. And if you were wondering, Avicii, a.k.a. Tom Berling, is a Swedish DJ, record producer, a remixer. And what makes him kind of cool is that he opened for Madonna in North America last year. So I was really excited. I got to see him.
And his music's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Good to dance to.
Now, I think we were going to hear how Sweden was pressing on into the rest of the world and showing that they care not only about the gay rights in their own country, but elsewhere.
But elsewhere, indeed. And I guess that they've made so many changes within their own community. Now they've got time to do other things. Uganda has come up in the sights of Sweden just recently, where two Ugandan men who had fled Uganda to Sweden. They actually fled separately, met up in Sweden, got together and got married.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they then came up for their asylum, came up for review, and there was a chance that they could be deported. It made international news, actually, and certainly splashing their names and their photo on papers around the world wouldn't have done them any favours going back to Uganda. So common sense prevailed, and the government has accepted them as asylum seekers and embraced them in the Swedish community.
Wow, Sweden, it truly is an open-minded country. I want to go visit.
Pretty soon New Zealand will be doing that for Australians.
Oh, terrible squirrel.
And great comments on Facebook about New Zealand this week. Thanks, everybody, for interacting. You can find us at World Wide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook. Let's have some more Swedish music.
A stopover in Sweden couldn't be complete without the Swedish House Mafia. Unfortunately, they disbanded earlier this year. We can only hope for a reunion. Don't you worry, child. 94.9. Joy 94.9, World Wide Wave. This week we are in Sweden, and that was Swedish House Mafia with Don't You Cry.
And great music out of Sweden.
Oh, always a pleasure to do Sweden. There's just a plethora of music.
Please, sir, can we have some more ABBA too?
Oh, more ABBA. Well, you know, the word pop should be synonymous with ABBA. And I think we might just have another song for you. Something a little different, maybe?
You can no, save them to last. Save them to last. I think you can never have enough ABBA. It's interesting, actually, Australia's fascination with ABBA. It was always one of
ABBA's...
A bit
over the top?
No, I wouldn't say over the top. But it was always one of their biggest countries. I mean, outside of Sweden, Australia was pretty much their biggest supporter, their most number ones, their biggest crowds when they came out to visit. So I'm not quite sure what the fascination was, but...
They each start with A.
It's like that movie. Oh, what's the one? It's the wedding movie where the Australian girls...
Muriel's Wedding.
That's the one.
And Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So yes. These iconic Australian movies, which ABBA became a really vital piece of the soundtrack.
You can't have an Australian movie without ABBA.
Well, you can't have a good Australian movie without ABBA.
But enough about ABBA. It's time for Call on Me, Eric Prize.
Joy 94.9.
Is he another Swede?
But of course, we're in Sweden.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Hello and goedenavond. This is Elko, listening in from the Netherlands on Worldwide Wave, the latest LGBT news and current affairs on joy.org.au.
This is the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9, where tonight we have been in Sweden. And we did talk at the top of the show, or earlier on in the show, about the Swedish gay footballer Anton Heisen, the first openly gay professional football, which is a lovely lead into the next show tonight. It's the locker room.
It is the locker room, and I bet they might be talking about footy.
Indeed. The boys are outside in their footy shorts and jerseys, warming
up. Staying.
Yeah, and thinking bad thoughts about Herd. Oh, sorry.
It's been a truly wonderful night.
He's kind of hot. Like, you know, I'm not one to go for a gentleman, but
I'm impressed, Squirrel.
I think the injections is definitely making his skin look bronze. Oh, anyway, yes.
So thank you to George from the Discrimination Ombudsman in Sweden, and also to Thomas from West Pride Sweden. You can find out more about West Pride at westpride.se. And Fernando at the front desk does a great job every week helping us out. So it's time for us to wrap up next week. Where would we be off to?
Brazil.
Can't wait. I hope we're finishing on some ABBA. Tom, better be or I'll hissy
fit. We send you out with a slightly obscure ABBA song. Thanks for riding the Worldwide Wave. This is ABBA, Super Trooper.
And it's been Super Trooper hearing about Sweden. Catch you next week.
Like I always do, 'cause somewhere in the crowd there.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.